What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on 1250 AM. The Fan, Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer with you. Chicago Charlie using other side of the glass, producing the show. Joining us now, he is Sam Monson of Pro Football Focus. Follow him on Twitter at PFF_Sam. That's at PFF_Sam. Sam, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right, let's talk about this Packers draft and get somebody else's thoughts outside of this, who's, you know, looking at this from a different lens than maybe we are as Packer fans. That first pick was Jordan Morgan, obviously the offensive tackle slash possible guard out of Arizona. What did you think of that selection versus what was there on the board for the Packers?
Yeah, I think it was a solid pick by them. It's a very Green Bay Packers type of offensive lineman, you know, in terms of a guy that can play tackle, but definitely has the flexibility to kick inside the guard. You know, he has some similarities to guys like Zach Tom, who they've drafted in the past and had really good success with. So, you know, I think once you got beyond those top surefire offensive tackle prospects, it was always going to be a little bit chaotic in terms of which teams valued which offensive tackle prospects the most, but Morgan going to the Packers, I think, made a lot of sense for them.
I was not too happy on Thursday night when Arnold and Mitchell both got there and were within a couple of picks of the Packers. I was advocating on social media to please trade up and grab one of them to pair with Jair Alexander kind of going forward, because my argument is, and has been since then to everybody that will listen, that if I have a Pro Bowl corner, I'd rather have that than a Pro Bowl guard or a Pro Bowl right tackle. Now, if he ends up being a Pro Bowl left tackle, well, that's different. Then obviously I would rather have the left tackle. Your thoughts on those two and how you would stack them up against Morgan?
Yeah, it was an interesting dynamic in the division, because obviously Green Bay elected to kind of stick with their strategy of drafting a lot of times and drafting in bulk and staying where they are. And then both Detroit and Minnesota went the opposite direction. They went for what you're advocating. They saw a guy falling within reach, and they traded up aggressively to try and snag that guy. Generally speaking, you know, the data, the analytics, history says that you're smart not doing that, not trading up for those guys and relying on the uncertainty of the draft being worth more than your ability to identify any given player at a given spot. But there is a little bit of evidence that says if you're trading up to halt the slide of somebody that is falling in the draft, or so if it looks like that guy is a steal or is really good value relative to where he was supposed to go, then there is some potential benefit to that. So, and that's exactly what happened with the Vikings and with the Lions. They went after Dallas Turner, who was supposed to go in the top 10, and Terrion Arnold, who was supposed to go around about the top 10 as well. So, you know, I think if Green Bay had gone and traded for Arnold and tried to snag him and brought him in, or even Quinyon Mitchell, like you said, it definitely would have been a defendable idea. And it's certainly, if those guys hit, I think it's more valuable than just a decent offensive lineman. But I also don't think you can criticize the approach that served them so well to just stay where they are and take advantage of drafting as many times as possible.
One guy that Packer fans were in love with and wanted so desperately was Cooper DeJean, the DB from Iowa, whether it be corner or safety. Why did he slide out of the first and slide a little bit there at the start of the second?
I think it was an indication that teams don't really see him as an outside cornerback, or at least have major questions about his ability to do that that weren't taken away by anything in his pre-draft process. You know, he was injured, so he was only really cleared athletically late in the process, and we didn't get to see the change of direction stuff. There was no three cone, there was no short shuttle. We saw, you know, the 40-yard dash and the jumps, the straight line explosiveness thing. But when you read scouting reports or you watch his tape or you listen to some of the bigger draft analysts out there, a lot of people are kind of saying the same thing in terms of some questions about his ability to flip his hips and to change direction on the outside as a corner, kind of stiffness there that isn't there with a guy like Terrion Arnold, for example, or Quinyon Mitchell. And if that means he can't play as an outside corner, now we are projecting what he looks like as a safety or as a nickel defender, which nickel defenders in particular generally go lower down the draft as well. So I think that's really what's driving it, is the teams out there couldn't be sure that he is an outside cornerback at this level. And if he isn't, then he's probably more of a second round draft pick where he went.
All right. So let's take him as a safety. Let's view him in that light. And then take Javon Bullard, who the Packers actually took there in the second round, as far as the player you want to play next to Xavier McKinney, who they got from the Giants. Which one would you have taken?
Probably Bullard, just because we've seen him do it. I think the role that he played at Georgia last year is exactly where the Packers would want to put him in that defense. Like, he played at his best with that kind of robber safety, strong safety alignment, or covering the slot in off-man coverage, the kind of things that you exactly what you want your safety to be doing as a strong safety in today's NFL, covering those tight ends, covering those guys lined up in the slot in off coverage, and then playing in that kind of robber role in the half space between the linebackers and the safeties, and just really keying on those route concepts over the middle. I think he's fantastic at that and is a really nice complement to Xavier McKinney. So I think that's a great pick in terms of having, we've seen that he can do that. Whereas again, with DeJean, it's more of a question about how he would translate to that kind of role.
Talking with Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus here on Wisconsin Sports Daily on 1250 AM The Fan. Follow him on Twitter at @PFF_Sam. With that first pick in the second round, they take the linebacker Edgerrin Cooper, the first linebacker taken off the board during the draft.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Having replaced Devondre Campbell obviously had to be done at some point in this draft. This was the guy that I liked. Tell everybody what he brings to the table.
Yeah, arguably the best linebacker in this entire draft. Very few weaknesses in his production and his grading profile at PFF. 85 grades basically across the board in coverage, run defense, or pass rush. Chris Collinsworth, our boss at PFF, he was on our live show on day one. He was saying he's the best quarterback spy he's ever seen in a college linebacker. And, you know, today's NFL, it's becoming a bigger thing than it's ever been in the past. So I think he's a really interesting player to add to that defense, and definitely great value where they got him in the second round.
What about Marshawn Lloyd? That's the running back the Packers take out of USC. Now, obviously, they just signed Josh Jacobs to a deal. They let Aaron Jones walk. He ends up going to the Vikings, so they're looking for that sidekick, even though they have A.J. Dillon back on a very team-friendly deal that they could cut and move on from without any real penalty. How does he look in comparison to what they already have in Josh Jacobs?
Yeah, he'll be a compliment to Josh Jacobs rather than a rival, I think. But he's a great change of pace type of back. He operates so well in space. If you get him into space, he's a phenomenal running back. How he translates to the NFL is a bit of a question mark, because there was so much space in that college system. Lincoln Riley's offense at USC, so many wide open lanes, so few players in the box. It's going to be a different world for him in the NFL. But if you get him into open real estate, he can make some magic happen.
When we talk about the Green Bay Packers and this draft class, and we were talking about it just before you came on as far as how the Packers stack up in the NFC North now that we've seen a majority of free agency done, the draft now in the books as well, how would you stack up this Packers team versus the rest of the division?
I think they're right up there contending. I mean, this team a year ago was moving in the right direction late on, was heading into the postseason with momentum. A huge amount of their ability going into this year is going to be contingent, not on players that they've added or the draft or free agents. It's going to be on the development of the youngest roster in the NFL. You know, when those guys all get a year older, how much better are they going to get? How much will that receiving core develop with a year of playing time under its belt? How much will Jordan Love continue to get better, or even just, you know, maintain the level that he was at late in the season? So I think that's what's going to determine how good the Packers are. They have an incredibly young roster that was all improving and looking good together. If it simply continues to move in that direction, they can challenge Detroit and the rest of the NFC.
It's funny because we were just talking too before you came on that they're probably going to be the youngest team in the NFL again. Devondre Campbell's gone. Bakhtiari's gone. Aaron Jones is gone. They have one player, I believe, over the age of 30 in Preston Smith, which means they are still going to be there among the youngest teams in the National Football League. What about the Chicago Bears? How much better do you think they are? Are they a playoff team? Could they contend with Green Bay and Detroit?
Yeah, they should be vastly improved. They absolutely could be a playoff team. It sort of depends, obviously, how quickly the new players, and in particular Caleb Williams, the quarterback, hits the ground running, or what that transition period looks like. But the additions that they've made, you know, they have clearly gone out of their way to ensure that the same thing doesn't happen to Caleb Williams that happened to Justin Fields. Fields was set up to fail with the lack of talent around him, and instead, you know, they have DJ Moore already. They bring in Keenan Allen. They double down. They bring in Roma Dunze in the draft with that ninth overall pick. Cole Kmet is there. The backfield is strong as well, with guys like DeAndre Swift just adding to the talent that they already had. And the offensive line is solid, I think. It's better than it was given credit for last season. You know, Justin Fields is not an offensive line-friendly quarterback. He made it look worse than I think it was. So that offense could be pretty good very quickly if Caleb Williams is able to have a relatively smooth transition to the NFL.
Thoughts on J.J. McCarthy and his future in Minnesota? Obviously, he'll start behind Sam Darnold before eventually, I'm sure, getting a chance. And he better get along with Justin Jefferson right out of the box. Otherwise, I got a feeling J.J. is not going to want to be there.
Yeah, it's a good situation for him to land in. Like you said, they don't need him to start right away, but they're probably going to put him in there, you know, before halfway through that season. That's the sort of trajectory I think he's going to be under. He's got receivers to throw to. He's got a pretty decent offensive line in front of him. And in Kevin O'Connell, he's got a good offensive-minded head coach to help that transition. Obviously, J.J. McCarthy's issue is just a lack of playing time, a lack of kind of throws relative to some of these other quarterbacks. Michigan didn't need him to be the guy. They didn't need him to carry the offense, which doesn't mean to say he can't do it. It just means we don't have the evidence of him carrying his offense the way Drake May or Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels did. It's a very different question for J.J. McCarthy, and there's more projection involved. But they counter that by the fact that when he was, what he was doing was NFL tape. It was an NFL offense, NFL concepts. So what we did see of him was directly applicable to what he's going to be doing at the next level. We just saw far less of it than we did for these other players.
I got one last one for you. We'll go to the Lions. Jared Goff, last year of his contract. We had Jeff Rieger on from The Ticket in Detroit last week. Doesn't sound like they're making a ton of progress on a contract extension. Hendon Hooker is sitting there after watching last year coming off that devastating injury when he was with Tennessee. How do you think that plays out? How does Hooker stack up against these other three quarterbacks we've been talking about?
It's tough to know. I mean, Hendon Hooker was coming out of a system in college that is, it's complete opposite of what we talked about with J.J. McCarthy. It's so far divorced from anything he's going to be doing at the NFL level. Projecting how that goes into an NFL offense is extremely difficult. So we're kind of working from in the dark with Hendon Hooker. We don't really know what he's capable of doing. His temperament, his, you know, intangibles all seem excellent, and the traits are there. But we now need to see some tape of him playing in an NFL system, even if that's just preseason, and get an idea of how that's going.
Having replaced Devondre Campbell obviously had to be done at some point in this draft. This was the guy that I liked. Tell everybody what he brings to the table.
Yeah, arguably the best linebacker in this entire draft. Very few weaknesses in his production and his grading profile at PFF. 85 grades basically across the board in coverage, run defense, or pass rush. Chris Collinsworth, our boss at PFF, he was on our live show on day one. He was saying he's the best quarterback spy he's ever seen in a college linebacker. And, you know, in today's NFL, it's becoming a bigger thing than it's ever been in the past. So I think he's a really interesting player to add to that defense, and definitely great value where they got him in the second round.
What about Marshawn Lloyd? That's the running back the Packers take out of USC. Now, obviously, they just signed Josh Jacobs to a deal. They let Aaron Jones walk. He ends up going to the Vikings, so they're looking for that sidekick, even though they have A.J. Dillon back on a very team-friendly deal that they could cut and move on from without any real penalty. How does he look in comparison to what they already have in Josh Jacobs?
Yeah, he'll be a compliment to Josh Jacobs rather than a rival, I think. But he's a great change of pace type of back. He operates so well in space. If you get him into space, he's a phenomenal running back. How he translates to the NFL is a bit of a question mark, because there was so much space in that college system. Lincoln Riley's offense at USC, so many wide open lanes, so few players in the box. It's going to be a different world for him in the NFL. But if you get him into open real estate, he can make some magic happen.
When we talk about the Green Bay Packers and this draft class, and we were talking about it just before you came on as far as how the Packers stack up in the NFC North now that we've seen a majority of free agency done, the draft now in the books as well, how would you stack up this Packers team versus the rest of the division?
I think they're right up there contending. I mean, this team a year ago was moving in the right direction late on, was heading into the postseason with momentum. A huge amount of their ability going into this year is going to be contingent, not on players that they've added or the draft or free agents. It's going to be on the development of the youngest roster in the NFL. You know, when those guys all get a year older, how much better are they going to get? How much will that receiving core develop with a year of playing time under its belt? How much will Jordan Love continue to get better, or even just, you know, maintain the level that he was at late in the season? So I think that's what's going to determine how good the Packers are. They have an incredibly young roster that was all improving and looking good together. If it simply continues to move in that direction, they can challenge Detroit and the rest of the NFC.
It's funny because we were just talking too before you came on that they're probably going to be the youngest team in the NFL again. Devondre Campbell's gone. Bakhtiari's gone. Aaron Jones is gone. They have one player, I believe, over the age of 30 in Preston Smith, which means they are still going to be there among the youngest teams in the National Football League. What about the Chicago Bears? How much better do you think they are? Are they a playoff team? Could they contend with Green Bay and Detroit?
Yeah, they should be vastly improved. They absolutely could be a playoff team. It sort of depends, obviously, how quickly the new players, and in particular Caleb Williams, the quarterback, hits the ground running, or what that transition period looks like. But the additions that they've made, you know, they have clearly gone out of their way to ensure that the same thing doesn't happen to Caleb Williams that happened to Justin Fields. Fields was set up to fail with the lack of talent around him, and instead You know, they have DJ Moore already. They bring in Keenan Allen. They double down. They bring in Roma Dunze in the draft with that ninth overall pick. Cole Kmet is there. The backfield is strong as well, with guys like DeAndre Swift just adding to the talent that they already had. And the offensive line is solid, I think. It's better than it was given credit for last season. You know, Justin Fields is not an offensive line-friendly quarterback. He made it look worse than I think it was. So that offense could be pretty good very quickly if Caleb Williams is able to have a relatively smooth transition to the NFL.
Thoughts on J.J. McCarthy and his future in Minnesota? Obviously, he'll start behind Sam Darnold before eventually, I'm sure, getting a chance. And he better get along with Justin Jefferson right out of the box. Otherwise, I got a feeling J.J. is not going to want to be there.
Yeah, it's a good situation for him to land in. Like you said, they don't need him to start right away, but they're probably going to put him in there, you know, before halfway through that season. That's the sort of trajectory I think he's going to be under. He's got receivers to throw to. He's got a pretty decent offensive line in front of him. And in Kevin O'Connell, he's got a good offensive-minded head coach to help that transition. Obviously, J.J. McCarthy's issue is just a lack of playing time, a lack of kind of throws relative to some of these other quarterbacks. Michigan didn't need him to be the guy. They didn't need him to carry the offense, which doesn't mean to say he can't do it. It just means we don't have the evidence of him carrying his offense the way Drake May or Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels did. It's a very different question for J.J. McCarthy, and there's more projection involved. But they counter that by the fact that what he was doing was NFL tape. It was an NFL offense, NFL concepts. So what we did see of him was directly applicable to what he's going to be doing at the next level. We just saw far less of it than we did for these other players.
I got one last one for you. We'll go to the Lions. Jared Goff, last year of his contract. We had Jeff Reger on from The Ticket in Detroit last week. Doesn't sound like they're making a ton of progress on a contract extension. Hendon Hooker is sitting there after watching last year coming off that devastating injury when he was with Tennessee. How do you think that plays out? How does Hooker stack up against these other three quarterbacks we've been talking about?
It's tough to know. I mean, Hendon Hooker was coming out of a system in college that it's complete opposite of what we talked about with J.J. McCarthy. It's so far divorced from anything he's going to be doing at the NFL level. Projecting how that goes into an NFL offense is extremely difficult. So we're kind of working from in the dark with Hendon Hooker. We don't really know what he's capable of doing. His temperament, his, you know, intangibles all seem excellent, and the traits are there. But we now need to see some tape of him playing in an NFL system, even if that's just preseason, and get an idea of how that's going to translate. I think the Jared Goff contract's a very difficult one to get done because he's played better for Detroit than the kind of mid-tier quarterback deals that have been getting done recently, the Geno Smith or the Baker Mayfield deal, but he hasn't played well enough, or at least there's still enough missing that you don't want to give him, you know, the top of the market money. You don't want him on the same contract as Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow or Josh Allen, because, you know, it's Jared Goff. He's just not at that level. So I think it's a difficult needle to thread for both sides to come out of that deal comfortable and happy that they've got the right contract.
Sam, so what is she to be asking for? I mean, if Jordan Love gets between $45 and $50 million a year, like they're saying, where does Goff slide in front of that, behind that? Where does he go?
I mean, even Jordan Love, I think, has flashed the ability to do more within the offense than Jared Goff has. So, yeah, it's tough. Like, I think that's a very difficult deal to do. You know, Dak Prescott is talking about $60 million a year, and that's going to be the new benchmark, the new kind of top-of-the-market money. Jared Goff is going to be looking at 50-plus, I think, based off what he's done for the Lions. But that's a tough amount of money to swallow if you're Detroit.
He is Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus. A great follow on Twitter. Please do that at @PFF_Sam, @PFF_Sam. And thanks for all the great work you guys do over there at Pro Football Focus. I know everybody appreciates it.
Anytime. Take it easy, guys.
You betcha. Take care. There is Sam Monson on Wisconsin Sports Daily here on 1250 AM The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Blinds.com's Labor Day Mega Sale starts now. Take the labor out of shopping for custom window treatments and make upgrading your home easy and affordable. Don't miss out on up to 50% off right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com is the better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing and free shipping. No showroom markups. No pushy salespeople in your home. Blinds.com's design experts can help you make the perfect choices with free virtual consultations. Plus, they'll send samples right to your door fast and free. Blinds.com can even handle the measure and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Since 1996, customers have trusted Blinds.com to cover over 25 million windows, all backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Take the labor out of upgrading your home with Blinds.com's Labor Day Mega Sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus premium doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.